I'm Joy Jackson, and this is Treasures Old and New from ART. This month, we tip our Stetson to some ART Westerns and ride the range with some of our old friends. Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens is a series that ART has fallen in love with. About two drifting cowboys who can't leave a mystery or a murder unsolved. This time around, they check up on someone, casually mentioned by a friend of theirs. Here's Fool's Gold, recorded in 2012.
American Radio Theater presents a lost old-time radio show. Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens in Fool's Gold.
Howdy, folks. You probably heard Sleepy Stevens say,
"You never can tell which way a dill pickle is going to squirt."
And that opinion covers a perfectly innocent-looking letter that Bob Marsh, Secretary of the Cattlemen's Association, sent to Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens. It was sort of a howdy and how are you note, but there was a postscript which said, "If you boys happen to drop into Topaz Wells, look up E. Corbin and say hello for me, will you?"
Son, I smell dynamite in them thy words.
Old Bob just wants us to say howdy to an old friend.
He knows where this old friend is, don't he? There's still paper and ink and telegraph, ain't there?
Well, it won't hurt to drop in and see this party. Anyway, Topaz Wells is over that range of blue hills yonder.
The hill crossing was uneventful, and our two roving cowpokes are cutting through a big cattle spread headed for a group of rambling buildings in a grove of sycamores. They ride in past empty corrals, swing around to the front of the ranch house, where they are greeted with a queer sound.
Hashknife, there's a soul in distress.
It sure sounds painful, cowboy.
And we ought to get down and see what we can do for him?
Well, we can try.
Hold fast, you two.
Don't shoot, old-timer. We come in peace.
Yeah? And I'll pull this trigger on the scatter gun here and you'll come in pieces.
Y'all will shoot strangers?
Strangers? Oh, yeah, well, now I can recognize that you are.
Well, we just come over the hills back there, looking for Topaz Wells.
You did, huh? Well, don't just stand there with your mouths open like a couple of nighthawks catching skeeters. Come on up on the porch and life.
Well, thank you, old-timer.
Another thing. I ain't old-timer. Name's Graveyard Grady.
I'm Hashknife Hartley, and this specimen of what can be done to humanity is Sleepy Stevens.
Yeah, howdy, Graveyard. Graveyard, huh? How come you got a handle like that?
In my younger days, I got me into the shooting habit. And I ain't weaned yet. Never will be, either. Eyes ain't what they used to be, but you give me a good two-handed grip on a 10-gauge shotgun and I'll splatter shot with the best of them.
Were you playing that horn, Graveyard?
I sure was. Awful pretty when I can get my lip set right, too.
Kinda unusual, ain't it? Most range folks play a guitar.
Not me. I tried it once. Tuned up a string so blame tight that when it busted, it hooked my little finger and throwed me plumb off the porch. Then I got me a slip horn and a couple of lesson books, and I'm doing fine. If I do say it, as I shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't. How do we get to Topaz Wells, Graveyard?
Go through that gate yonder. Turn right and keep on the road till you find yourself surrounded by buildings.
Thanks, Graveyard. Do you happen to know an E. Corbin?
E. Corbin? No, I don't. Judd Corbin used to own the J.C. Spread afore he died. And, spell Emmeline with an M?
No, with an E.
Well, there you are, E for Emmeline Corbin. I always thought you spelled it with a M.
Dab-blamed woman, huh?
Don't let that irk you, cowpoke. She could slap your head to a point with one hand, and she will, too, maybe.
Where can we find the Mrs. Corbin?
In town, I reckon. She owns this ranch. But she's mostly in. Being that she owns the Golden Rule Mine, and she runs most of it herself.
Widow?
Yeah, she's a widder.
Don't you get any ideas, High Pockets?
No, I won't get any ideas. Fact is, we want to say hello to her for somebody else.
Oh, so you're a proxy, huh?
Wait a minute, Bo Diddley. Don't call us names.
Sleepy, he wasn't calling names.
Well, it didn't sound good. Hey, somebody pulling in here in a buckboard.
Well, that's E. Corbett herself. With Henry Adams, the sheriff driving for her. He's stuck on Emmeline.
Now, Emmy, let me help you down.
Since when did I need help to unhook from a buckboard seat? Get back and give me room. Well, I mayn't get down very pretty, but I get down all at once.
Morning, Miss Corbin.
Morning. Great Aunt, it's 3 o'clock.
My mistake, Miss Corbin. I'd like to make you used to Hash Knife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens. Boys, this is E. Corbin. And that coming up behind is Sheriff Adams.
Hello, Miss Corbin. Sheriff.
Howdy. Howdy.
Nice place you own here, ma'am.
Take this chair, Em.
Nice place? Oh, yeah, I reckon it is. So you're Hash Knife and Sleepy. Bob Marsh told me about you two.
You know that ornery bat-eared knothead, ma'am?
That ornery bat-eared knothead happens to be my nephew, and he is not a knothead.
Not a perfect specimen, ma'am, but, well, he'll do until I locate a better one.
If I can get a word in age-wise, Emmy, I'd be heading back.
All right, Henry, thanks. Pick me up this evening.
I'll be out. See y'all later.
Nice meeting you.
Bye now.
Nice feller, Henry Adams.
Sounds nice and brief.
So you're cattle detectives, eh?
Oh, not exactly, Mrs. Corbin. You see...
Never mind any alibi, Hash Knife. I ain't got enough cows left to detect.
We came too late, huh?
I'm a woman of few words. So we, graveyard, you wipe that grin off from your homely face. That's better now. My husband, Judd Corbin, owned this J.C. spread and owned the Golden Rule Mine. 6 months ago, he was murdered, the mine office, and I had to take over everything. The bank was robbed once, the stage robbed twice to get my gold.
Raw gold, huh?
That's right, Hash Knife. Now the bank won't handle any more raw gold and the stage won't haul it and be responsible. In 6 months, I've lost exactly $45,000 worth of gold.
That's a lot of gold. No idea who done it.
Not a single idea.
Ain't the sheriff got any ideas? Ain't he done nothing?
Not a thing.
Em, I saw him holding your hand.
Graveyard, you get into that house and start supper. Hold my hand, you prying old badger.
He was, Em. I seen him.
He had to. I was about to sock him a good one.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Well, I'll heat up the stove.
I like him.
Oh, who don't? Lovable old rawhider. Well, that's the story, boys. I'm all tired out. Bob wrote me, if I can find Hash Knife and Sleepy and fox him into coming down there, you can relax. Now that you're here, I guess I will.
Foxed us into coming. Why, that bat-eared, narrow between the eyes... Excuse me, ma'am, but he aggravates me.
Bob said, give Sleepy my regards.
He did, huh? Why, that slab-sided... Hash Knife, the poor thing is wore plum out.
Not only that, cowboy, but she's stealing your stuff.
Well, the sheriff came back to the J.C. spread after supper that night and took Mrs. Corbin back to Topaz Wells. She asked Hash Knife and Sleepy to stay at the ranch, and so here they are with Graveyard Grady sprawled out on chairs in the main room discussing things in general and Mrs. E. Corbin in particular.
She says she's a woman of a few words, huh? Why, she could talk the feathers off a wooden engine and never crack the paint.
She ain't no clinging vine, Emmeline ain't. She's all woman and a neck yoke wide.
Graveyard, what sort of hairpin is this, Sheriff?
Henry?
Oh, all right. Straight as a tightrope, honest as a dollar, and dumb as a half-witted peacock. Why, one time Henry spent 4 hours trying to find crime in the dictionary.
She spoke of a Jim Steele?
Jim's her mine manager. Awful nice fella.
And who is Clarence?
Oh, he's Clarence Weed, the banker. I've got me a hunch that Clarence is in love with Emmeline. He's an awful nice feller, too.
Ain't there nobody but nice fellers around here?
That's just the trouble. Nobody to suspect.
In that case, we might as well hit the hay, son. Everybody's nice, we're full of food, and the dove of peace has got his head tucked under his wing. Where do we sleep?
In that room over there. I'll fix you another lamp.
Awful nice place here, Hash Knife. I feel like I could go to sleep. What are you sniffing at?
I smell wood smoke, cowboy.
Must be my cigarette.
You ain't smoking sawdust, are you?
Fire! Fire! The dad burned stables on fire!
Fire! Come on! Hey, there's a fire outside. Hurry! Shut that door, graveyard! Kill that lad, Sleepy!
You got graveyard.
I'm afraid they did, cowboy. Listen. Look out! Somebody crawling in through the doorway.
There goes them bushwhackers.
Dead, firm, clumsy ox.
Graveyard, is that you?
Now you ask me, maybe it is.
Shut that door, Sleepy.
I'll light the other lamp.
Graveyard, did they hit you in the mouth?
Course not. I fell over my own feet and bit the plank. Got me a loose tooth now.
You got off lucky.
I'm sure glad that we put all the horses in the corral this evening instead of leaving them in the stable. They'd have burned to death.
What'll Miss Corbin say when she finds her nice stable gone?
I'm not worrying about the stable now. I'm wondering why someone wanted to kill us.
Man, it's almost burned to the ground. Makes everything as light as day out there. You know?
Why, them dad burn bushwhackers. Look, they busted the gold frame looking glass on the wall, too.
Oh, well, it ain't like you don't know what you look like, graveyard.
They all must be nice folks around here, but there's also sane, smart ones. They fake they're leaving the place in hopes of getting a shot at the rest of us.
Deceptive. That's what they are, just playing deceptive. No sense of honesty.
What's our next move, Hash Knife?
We might as well go to bed, cowboy.
Hash Knife, do you mean to say that you can sleep after all this?
Well, if I can't, I'm going to be awake an awful long time.
Ain't you scared, Sleepy?
Graveyard, if you was half as scared as I am right now, you'd be crossing Kansas and kicking jackrabbits off the trail ahead of you.
Well, nothing further happened that night at the J.C. Ranch. After breakfast, Hash Knife and Sleepy rode to Topaz Wells to have a talk with Henry Adams, the sheriff. They're in his office and have just finished telling him what happened last night at the ranch house.
I just don't know what to say or do, Hartley. Mrs. Corbin would be terrible upset over this.
Never mind the upsets. They tried to kill us last night, and they'll try again.
And it don't pay to try and stretch your luck too far.
I understand that the bank and the stage have turned thumbs down on handling the gold.
That's right. Two masked men stuck up Clarence Weed, the banker, and took the gold out of the vault. Twice the stage was held up by two masked men, and they got both shipments. You can't blame them for not wanting to take the stuff.
Oh, howdy, folks. Come on in, Miss Corbin. Mr. Steele, don't believe you've met Hartley and Stevens yet.
Nice. Hi, how you doing?
Nice. Yeah, sit down, everybody.
Did you boys sleep well last night?
Yes'm, we done it right well. Of course, we had a bad start.
Bad start?
Yes'm. You see, somebody set fire to your stable, trying to draw us out of the house. Graveyard fell for the scheme. He ran and opened the door, but he fell down and the bullets went over him.
Wait a minute. Are you telling the truth?
I'm a living proof of it, ma'am.
Graveyard, was he hurt bad?
Only his knees and his pride.
I told Mrs. Corbin that they'd never stand for a detective. That gang is smart. They don't care for any outside interference.
Jim, I'm afraid you're right.
And they'll keep on until they kill these two men.
Or die trying.
All right, all right. I'll pay you boys for your trouble, and you can leave this country.
Mrs. Corbin, you overlooked one thing.
What did I overlook?
When men try to murder us, ma'am, it becomes a personal matter. If there's any running to be done, they can do it. We won't.
But you haven't a chance. They know who you are, but you don't know who this gang is.
Yeah, it may look that way to you, Mr. Steele.
You just came here. You don't know anybody. So how could you have any idea who they are? How? I'd like to know.
Mr. Steele, there's a big stone face over in a place they call Egypt, and for hundreds of years, folks have wondered what it's thinking about.
What has the Sphinx got to do with this situation?
It's like this, Bo Diddley. Compared to Hashknife Hartley, this Sphinx feller is a dad-blamed blabbermouth.
You didn't seem to enjoy that meal, cowboy.
I just can't keep my mind on nourishment.
Well, stop looking behind you, Sleepy.
Just can't do it, son. Everybody in this blamed country knows why we're here.
Nobody going to shoot us in broad daylight.
Ah, son, I try to keep calm. From my waist up, I'm calm, but the rest of me wants to run. I'm a divided soul, that's what I am.
I think we'll drop into the bank here and have a chat with Mr. Clarence Weed.
There's Jim Steele talking with the banker, I guess it is.
Oh, hello, Hartley. Stevens, I'd like to have you meet Mr. Weed, our banker.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing?
Mr. Weed.
Well, I'm glad you boys came down to help out, Hartley. Mr. Steele says you built up a good reputation for solving crime.
I'm afraid somebody's been telling tales, Mr. Weed. We're just a pair of drifting cowpokes.
Who ought to be drifting right now, too.
Well, I understand that some ruffians attacked you at the J.C. last night. Burned the stable.
Yeah, we had a little shindig out there. It didn't amount to much.
Well, it sounded quite serious. What can I do for you boys?
Oh, nothing much. I've been told two masked men held you up and robbed the bank of a lot of gold some time back.
Oh, they certainly did, Hartley.
Wasn't there anything about them that would give you some idea who they might be? Folks don't all look alike.
When they have a gun in your face, they do.
Yeah, I reckon so, Mr. Weed.
Clarence, we need men like Hartley and Stevens around here. But after what happened last night, Mrs. Corbin asked them to drop the case.
I see. Well, is there any reason why I can't hire them to continue on the case? After all, the bank is a very interested institution.
You mean the bank would pay us for our work?
Hartley, if you can find and convict the men who robbed the bank, I will guarantee you $5,000.
That's mighty nice of you, Mr. Weed.
And I reckon I can say that the Golden Rule Mine will match that offer. Anyway, I'll ask Mrs. Corbin to get back into the deal.
Sleepy, what do you think of it?
All I can say, son, is this. I ain't never sat in a game with a pot that big. And all we got to draw it to is two inside bob-tailed straights. And we know the deck is stacked.
But you haven't any money in the pot.
No money. Only our dad-blamed lives.
All right, gents. We'll draw cards in your game.
And we've been knowed to make an inside straight, too. Well, you ain't saying a word since we left town, and we're almost back to the J.C. Ranch.
Sorry, cowboy. I've been thinking.
So have I, and it ain't pleasant. I wonder how it would feel to have a bullet through your clavicle.
Don't look so wild-eyed, cowboy. If their bullets ain't got your name on them, you're safe.
And if they have, I got me a busted clavicle.
I wonder how things are with the graveyard. Nobody inside around the place. We'll pull up in front. Look out! Around here, behind the crowd, cowboy. Whoa, whoa!
Whew-wee, that was close, son. How'd you know something was wrong?
I saw a masked face at the front window. Let's get to the corner of the corral.
Here we are. See anybody, son?
Not yet. Yeah, someone ducked out of the kitchen door and around the house. Might be a trap to draw us out into the open.
Pulling out, huh?
There he goes, heading through the brush. Too far for a six-gun. Blaze face roan. Come on, let's find out what happened to Graveyard.
Old Graveyard tied up like a dad-blamed mummy.
Easy, Sleepy. Why, that dirty snake in the grass stuck up on me and I didn't have a chance. Said he was aiming to kill both you fellers.
He might have if I hadn't seen his face at the window. How are you, Graveyard?
I'm finer than frog hair, Hash Knife.
Any idea who that dry girl sure was, Graveyard?
Not a blamed idea in the world. He said this country is too blamed small for him and two detectives.
Yeah, it may get smaller.
Kind of shrinking already, ain't it, son?
Graveyard, who rides the Blaze-Faced Roan?
Blaze-Faced Roan. Only one I know of belongs to Tom Ort.
Who is Tom Ort?
Tom owns a little spread just at the bottom of the grades on Crescent Hill Road. Just a little spread.
Nice feller, huh?
Awful nice. Everybody likes Tom. He's a cousin to Jim Steele, M's mine boss. Been here longer than Jim has, though.
Tom Ort. Cousin to Jim Steele. Little spread at the bottom of the grade.
Have you got something on your mind there, tall feller?
Graveyard, you know what gambling odds are, don't you?
Sure do. I've played poker all my life.
All right. I'll lay you $1 million against a second-hand donut that you don't get an answer out of Hash Knife.
You mean he's a fortune teller looking at your past?
Yeah, only he's looking into the future, and I sure hope it don't scare him.
I'm glad you and the sheriff came out to the ranch this morning, Mrs. Corbin. You see, them gold-hungry coyotes are awful smart.
Of course they're smart.
Are you willing to take a dangerous chance to stop them?
You can't scare me, Hash Knife.
Good. How about you, Sheriff?
If him will take a chance, I sure will, too. Spit it out.
Give me one of them empty boxes you ship gold in, but don't let anybody see you take it from the mine. Leave it at the sheriff's office where I can get it later.
But I don't see...
Nobody else does either, Sheriff. Let him tell it.
Mrs. Corbin, I want you to whisper to Jim Steele that you and the sheriff are going to take a shipment of gold to Crescent City tonight. In the buckboard. Maybe he'll object, but you're the boss.
You're doggone right, I'm the boss.
Most women are.
Do we take real gold, Hash Knife?
As far as Jim Steele knows, yeah.
But Em, me and you, all that gold, even if it ain't real gold...
Getting cold feet, Henry?
All right, Hash Knife. A man can't live forever.
Get that empty box for me. Don't forget. Tell Jim Steele you're leaving town about 9 o'clock and for him to stay away from the mine.
You mean them thieves will be watching Jim?
Could be. At 9 on the dot, you two pull out for Crescent City.
But Hash Knife, that's dangerous. They might hurt him.
Never mind me. Hash Knife, that deal Clarence Weed offered you, that $5,000, I'm matching his offer.
Thank you, Mrs. Corbin. I sure hope this scheme works out right. If you get to Crescent City safely, I'm wrong.
But suppose we both get killed.
Henry, I don't know why anybody ever elected you sheriff.
Even voters make mistakes.
I don't believe this gang will harm either of you.
Sheriff, it might be a good idea if you wrote your will.
My will? Sleepy, you're a high-heeled crepe hanger. I am so scared I could run plumb through a new barbed wire fence and never feel a scratch.
Did I ever tell you about the time I got scared up in Wyoming?
You did, Graveyard. That was only 2 hours before you skidded to a stop here at the JC in Arizona.
This is 1 9 o'clock I wished was 2 weeks away. My fingers are worn to the bone from picking up broken nuts, bolts,
hunks of horseshoes,
and scrap iron.
It's as heavy as sin.
Or gold.
Ugh, that's the idea. We had to have them, cowboy.
There's the banker's house. The one with the light in the window.
Watch your step. This walk ain't too good, and in the dark you can't see. Oh, here's the gate. Let me get a hand loose. I'll open it. Packing scrap iron to a banker. You knock. I ain't got the hand for it, son.
I'll just hang out here.
Who? Oh, yes.
Hartley and Stevens. Come in. What on earth is this, Hartley?
Mr. Weed, here is $20,000 worth of gold.
$20,000?
We'll set it down here. That stuff is heavy.
But I...
Mr. Weed, at 9 o'clock, Mrs. Corbin and the sheriff are heading for Crescent City in a buckboard packing a fake box of gold.
I don't see...
Keep listening and maybe we'll both see.
If them gold-hungry galoots stick Mrs. Corbin and the sheriff up and try to open the box they're carrying... Well, between us, there's enough natural glycerine in that box to blow up Topaz Wells.
Good heavens.
You keep the real gold here. We've got to be going.
No. I can't do that. I won't be...
Thank you, Mr. Weed. I knowed you'd do it. Come on, Sleepy.
No. Please, I can't.
He said he can't, son.
Well, he can try, cowboy. We'll cross the street and sit down over there with Graveyard.
Are we tired, or just sheepherder crazy?
That is something we'll know later, cowboy. This is all right, I guess.
Well, all I can say, it's a nice night for it.
This better be good, or I'd have gone with them.
The sheriff's with her.
Fat lot of good he is.
Weed's heading for his stable. Let's get our horses.
I hope you know what I'm doing, Hash Knife, because I sure don't.
We're heading for Tom Ort's ranch at the bottom of the grades on the Crescent City Road. This must be the road that goes to Tom Ort's place, cowboy.
And look at that. Them buckboard tracks turn right here. I sure hope that Em and the sheriff are okay.
You mean them gold-hungry coyotes caught Mrs. Corbin and the sheriff and took him to Ort's ranch?
Could be, cowboy. Listen. Get off the road, quick. Sleepy, Graveyard, into the brush.
That was Banker Weed riding by here like a San Saba cyclone was twisting his tail.
It's working, cowboy.
It is? I mean, it must be. You're so glad.
Dadgummit! You hombres just talking riddles.
That must be Tom Ort's ranch house just ahead. Whoa, boy. Whoa! Come on, Sleepy. Graveyard, there's somebody on the porch. Go easy, cowboy.
You blasted fool! Walking in and letting them see your face. Now we're stuck.
Let's get in closer, Sleepy.
How did I know? I tell you.
Don't you realize they tricked you? Em Corbin and the sheriff had a fake shipment. And there was no bomb in it. Maybe they trailed you out here.
Oh, I didn't know, Jim. It was all so sudden, I had to warn you.
All right. Weed, this is the finish of our deals. Hartley and Stevens will be here. Tom!
Yeah? Jim, how are you going to fix this mess?
Tom, this week, sister, has ruined everything. We got to go.
Yeah, but what about the gold?
Oh, forget it. We've got to run for it. Now get two horses, quick.
Let's not lose our heads.
That's exactly what I'm worried about. Now go get the horses, I said.
But
get,
Jim...
Get!
What about me?
You stuff-shirted bungler. Stay and face it. After all, they didn't see our faces, but you...
Face it alone, eh, Jim?
Weed! What do you think? No, you can't...
Hold it, Tom. All right, Tom. You won't run out either.
Hold it. Weed, you ain't going no place. Killing those two don't help you none.
What? Why, it's you. I just...
You blasted him, son. Any more around, I wonder?
Where's Em? Where is she?
Did you blast them two sidewinders? I give them jobs, and then they set themselves up to rob me blind. If they ain't dead, there's still a chance for me to get them.
Now, Em, maybe you should just let the sheriff do that.
Oh, sure, like he's protected my interests so far.
Dadnammit, woman, you wouldn't listen to me.
You're just saying they were awful nice fellas.
Just like a woman. You weren't listening for the emphasis.
You're an awful nice fella yourself.
Don't you be getting any ideas now.
We'll see. Boys, When you get going on the trail again, you be sure to thank Bobby Marsh for me. I'm right thankful for him sending you this way.
Bobby?
Better not call him that, Sleepy.
You've been listening to a recreation of a lost old-time radio show presented by American Radio Theater. Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens in Fool's Gold was adapted by Joy Jackson, directed by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Ken Leese as Hashknife Hartley and Dave Leese as Sleepy Stevens, with Marge Lutton as M. Corbin, Pat McNally as Tom Ort, Mokey O'Reilly as the Sheriff, Greg Porter as Jim Steele, Harry Thiel as Graveyard, and Kim Turner as the Ranger. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod, www.incompetech.com. Recorded at Pioneer Hall, Seattle, Washington. I'm Dan Schindler, your announcer, who you also heard as Clarence Weed. Fool's Gold was originally broadcast on March 19, 1951, and starred Frank Martin as Hashknife Hartley and Barton Yarbrough as Sleepy Stevens. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
We'll return to treasures old and new from ART in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Good morning, Mrs. Dragon. It's a fine day, isn't it?
A fine day for frogs and fishes, Mr. Peddler. Not so fine for dragons.
Well, we do need the rain. What can I do for you today?
Daryl and I are hosting the family gathering again, and I need to stock up. We certainly don't want the Dragon Clan ravaging the countryside like last year at Cousin Daphne's.
Oh, indeed not. Indeed not. Just what are your needs, Mrs. Dragon?
Well, first I need 2 dozen virgins.
Dear me, if you'd asked before Midsummer's Day, it would have been no problem. But this late in the season, I do have plenty of damsels in distress.
Are they virgins?
Well, no, that's why they're in distress.
Well, I don't know.
Tell you what, Mrs. Dragon, if you take a dozen damsels, I'll throw in a free dwarf.
Oh, okay. The kids do like to torment dwarves, but I still need the virgins. Granny Dragon is very particular, and if Granny isn't happy, nobody's happy.
Oh, I know how that goes, Mrs. Dragon. Say, I have some knights in shining armor. They each come with a squire and a horse.
Well, they might provide some entertainment, but they're so hard to get out of the can. Very well. Give me 6 knights, Mr. Peddler. Do you have any virgins at all?
I've got 7 in the cage, but a couple of them are rather dubious.
I'll take them. Oh, and podcasts, are they still on back order?
Yes, Mrs. Dragon, I can't seem to keep them in stock.
Mrs. Firebreath was saying something about a secret website?
Oh, it's no secret. People in the know all about it.
Would you clue me in, Mr. Peddler?
Sure. It's www.americanradiotheater.org.
www.americanradiotheater.org. Granny Dragon loves those things. She can put her headphones on, close her eyes, and ignore the mayhem erupting around her. Well, what's the damage, Mr. Peddler?
Let's see. 12 damsels in distress, 6 knights with squires and horses, and 7 virgins. That'll be 2.5 pounds of flesh.
Oh, that's rather high.
Well, I'm tossing the dwarf in for free. There's a package discount on the knights, squires, and horses. I'll give you the 2 dubious virgins for half price. That's 2.25 pounds.
Oh, what about returns if we don't use everything?
You can return everything except the virgins.
All right. Put it on my account. I'll settle up at the first of the month when Daryl's endangered species check comes in.
Have a great family gathering, Mrs. Dragon. I'll let you know if I can turn up any more virgins.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Peddler. My, that's a lot of cages.
Yes, ma'am. Don't forget to keep the damsels and virgins separate. They don't get along at all.
Oh.
Here, I'll get the door for you.
Thank you, Mr. Peddler.
My pleasure, Mrs. Dragon.
We've been listening to G.I. Jive, which was sent out by shortwave in World War II, with G.I. Jill as the disc jockey. Now we switch to a different G.I. Jive, sponsored by Yank, the Army Weekly, the EAF Jukebox of the Air.
Yank, the Army Weekly, presents G.I. Jive. Now, here it is, fellows, the music you asked for, G.I. Jive, the AEF Jukebox of the Air. To get what you want in jazz, write. The only address you need is Special Service, Los Angeles, USA. Just put your requests in, and out will come your favorite bands and singing stars. There's that ever-loving sound, men, so get set to latch onto another batch of red, hot, and deep purple tunes. In between the music, we'll hand out a sports item or two that might be of interest. But music's the thing, and we're giving the nod to Lucky Melander to thump out Apollo Jump. Apollo does jump when that man Millinder gets off. Well, let's see what's with the sports world. When Pete Cawthorn, former Texas Tech coach and now coach of the Brooklyn Dodgers footballers, came to the home of the Bums, he made a favorable impression on the sports writers. Said Pete, "There's one thing I particularly like about pro football. In college, if you lose three games, you look for a new job. But in this league, if you lose three games, you look for new players." Any way you look at it, the situation ties in with Sister Tharp's little offering called Trouble in Mind.
Trouble in mind, I'm blue, but I won't be blue always, for the sun will shine
Mister, we see what you mean. Say, man, remember Les Kalchick, former Marquette star tackle and shot putter? Well, Les got that little note that begins, "Greetings," and he's now a grade-A yardbird. But Les must figure on running out of ammunition someday because he's sent home for his 16-pound shot. Of course, he could have saved all that trouble by using one of my wife's biscuits. Comes now Kay Kaiser with Ain't Misbehavin'. Misbehaving. That one's been around for a long time, but a lot of you seem to go for the oldies. Which reminds me, we're here to play what you ask for, so do some asking. Mail your letters to Special Service, Los Angeles, USA. Well, with a lot of ball players now in service, some screwy things have been happening in the leagues. For instance, the first string catcher of the Los Angeles Baseball Club is Billy Barney, a 15-year-old high school boy. Good? Listen, his first trip at bat, he slammed out a homer. He's played 12 games and has thrown out 11 runners trying to steal. And on top of that, he calls good signals and is batting a sweet .321. Some kid, eh, kid? Now for more jump as Erskine Hawkins comes to bat with Knock Me a Kiss. Ida James does the vocal.
Baby, if you insist, I'll cut out cake just for your sake. Baby, come on and knock me a kiss. I like pie, I hope to die. Just get a load of this. When you get high, doggone the pie. Come on and knock me a kiss. When you pressed your lips to mine, 'twas then I understood they taste like candy, brandy and wine, peaches, bananas, and everything good. I like jam, no flim-flam. Scratch them off my lips. Jam, the jam can scram. Baby, come on and knock me a kiss. Peaches
little Jenny Sims saying, I'm like a fish out of water.
You hear me singing songs about your subtle charm. I give the world itself to win them. My place is in your arms. My arms are out of place whenever you're not in there. Like fish out of water, sky with no stars, a glamorous Hetty without the Lamar. I'd like to murder the guy who put the headache in my horoscope. I'm just a dilly that's all, the little lady that's all, Arabella the doe. I'm like a picture by Disney, minus the mice, a shrimp a la Creole, without any rhyme. Although I love the fire, how I tire answering false alarms. Like fish out of water, who certainly ought to be in your arms. I'm like a fish that's out of the water, roysters in the month of June, a serenade by Cole Porter without any tune. Like fish out of water,
do we?
A nautical daughter,
do we?
A fish out of water,
we certainly ought to be here.
Cheer up, Jenny. Things could always be worse. Like, for instance, the hillbilly Jimmy Walker was telling us about. Seems that this character spent a year courting his gal. Finally, her pappy poked a shotgun in the swain's midsection and said, Son, the time has come for me to ask you something. Are your intentions honorable or dishonorable? For gosh sake, said the boy. You mean I have a choice? Now, fellas, here's the favorite story of the man who made the Brown Derby famous, Al Smith. It's about the citizen who was attending his first political jamboree. Suddenly, the gent missed his watch and reported the loss to the district leader. Where were you standing? Whispered the boss. Over there, said the victim, next to that tall guy. In a few minutes, the leader returned and handed the watch to its owner. Thanks, said the man. What did he say? Shh, said the other. He doesn't know it yet. And, fellows, here's that little beauty, Begin the Beguine, by Artie Shaw.
Thank you.
Let's look at a couple of quickie items. Hollywood is all set to make a flicker based on the life of Eddie Rickenbacker. But get this. There won't be a single shot fired in the film. No flag waving, no battles, no accident in the Pacific. Just the story of a barefoot boy growing up. And one of your favorite radio programs, Duffy's Tavern, will also be made into a movie with Ed Gardner in his role of Archie. Now, here's Ray McKinley with that oldie that's still a goodie, Without a Song. Fellas, that's it for today. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, and I hope you liked the music.
Thanks a lot, Phyllis Brooks, and goodbye for now. This program was produced by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by ART's website, www.americanradiotheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Oh, and an advanced heads up for the next marathon, right here on radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelsen Room. It's on August 27th, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern to 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. 12 hours of superb old-time radio shows. Hey, see you next time.